The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have Sandy Hurst. She is the founder of Connections Human Services in Carroll, Tuscola County. And we also have Ed Wolf. He was here before in another capacity years ago with the National Guard, but now he is an intern with the program as he's going to college and upgrading his resume and skills.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about Connections Human Services and what they do in Tuscola County. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Sandy, what is Connections? What basically do you target? Because there are other agencies like Human Development Commission and such that target home improvements, roofs, and all that kind of stuff. You have a particular focus that is not being met.
That's correct. We founded in 2011. A little story behind that is I had done some work with a nonprofit and kind of looked at our service array in the county and Thumb Region. And what we found is there were huge gaps in services. As public funding was slowing down, we were having difficulty getting services met, and there were more and more people with unmet needs. The first need we found was adult guardianships. We had public guardianship in Huron County, which
Been there for years.
Yeah, Huron County is one of those counties that does a wonderful job taking care of themselves. And Santa Lake County.
Which is easier on a smaller scale than if you got to like a Wayne County or someplace big like that.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, there's a good tax base and all that for Huron County. You guys do real well. Santa Lake County has a public guardian's office as well. And they do some creative funding and streaming with that. They're right now becoming the exception to the rule in the state. So we started a guardianship agency. I did agency in which we did guardianship was an unmet need in the area. A company from Wayne County was doing most of the work, and then there were a few pockets of individuals doing it within Tuscola County.
But this is the kind of work that's better done when you're nearby.
Yes. Yeah, geographic locality and being near the person because they have needs that come up out of nowhere. Yeah. Being nearby is helpful.
And is it something that, you know, you must have to be checked out long before this even gets going because you're going to be dealing with people's finances?
Yeah. I personally have an MBA in healthcare management as well as many, many years in social work, doing mental health work, child welfare work, and some nonprofit work. I had to initially go through and I got my certification as a National Guardian initially. So I was actually making sure I was following all the standards and just best practice.
There are different levels of guardianship, isn't there? I mean, you'd have some where maybe you're just making sure the bills are paid, they're not going to get thrown out of their house, but they're still able to live at home. Others may need more care and maybe in a nursing home and such, and you have to make sure that they've got enough funds and reserve that if something crops up, they can take care of it.
Correct. The courts are really good at giving the amount of authority, because when you give a guardianship or a conservatorship away, you're actually taking somebody's rights away. So the courts are very good at figuring out at what limits the people have. So you can have a guardianship of a person that would be a full guardianship that you have responsibility for their medical, their financial, their legal, housing. That you can have a partial guardianship where the court will say, you know, you can only can take care of their finances. They get to decide where they live. They get to decide what doctor they go to, etc.
As long as the finances allow for it.
As long as the finances allow for it. We also have for our developmentally disabled individuals, we have a little bit different guardianship. They're still called plenary guardianships, and there's a few different rules with that. You can have a plenary guardianship of the person or of an estate. If, say, a person who is developmentally disabled at birth receives an inheritance from their parents when they pass away, and then there's an estate that has to be managed, and you report to the court on all, you know, where every penny and every dollar goes to.
Mm-hmm. Every month.
In our area, we're very small townish and very community family related. Does it usually start out with a family, and if that doesn't work out, then it goes into a guardianship? Because sometimes families, you know, want to do this, but then the person in the guardianship is used to stepping all over the people who are supposed to be in charge, and that can be a problem as well.
Exactly. Ideally, families are the first choice. if there's a family member that is can and willing to be a guardian for an individual, that would be the first choice. We tend to come into play if there are no family members involved, or that family members have been guardians for years and that struggle you were talking about has gone on and families is like, I just want to be mom. I want to be dad. I don't want to, you know, be
the... They're used to being the ones taking care of the others.
Right. So...
Because there's reports every month that has to go to Social Security, reports every month that has to go to keep their benefits up. So therefore, some people get overwhelmed with the paperwork and reports.
But there's then there's a difference, though, between being guardians and just, like when my dad was in assisted living, I had a power of attorney and medical power of attorney.
Right.
Those were granted to me by him.
Correct.
Through signatures, so I didn't have a lot of this reporting to do.
Exactly, yeah. And usually the power of attorney comes into play when someone's deemed, you know, incapacitated by the doctor. The doctor's saying, oh, they can't make their decisions anymore, so then you step in. But yeah, guardianship is more restricted. Like I said, it takes away rights. Families are definitely tend to be the ideal or close family members, friends. But, you know, there are times when those folks aren't available. And as, you know, I heard the phrase a couple of weeks ago, we are in for a gray tsunami as the baby boomers age and we have more and more elderly, yeah, people.
We're all raising our hands in the studio here, the baby boomers.
As we get older, you know, there's you know, higher incidences of Alzheimer's and all that stuff going on. And not the base to actually take care of us. Our families, you know, many people's families move out of state. I have family members that we work with that are in California, Florida.
And they have jobs and they have
exactly
no way they can just drop everything and come back.
So, you know,
for an unknown period of time.
Exactly. And, you know, we're coming to the point within the state of Michigan that more and more need is going on to the public guardians, or the professional guardians, I should say, and less professional guardianship people to do that. You know, 10 years ago, we had 300 people that were doing professional guardianship in the state of Michigan. The census we just ran last year we're at 152.
And it's certainly not that the senior population is dropping.
No, no. The reason is typically being the work demand. I mean, there's no way you could do this on a part-time, you know, as I go.
And it's not 9 to 5.
And it's not 9 to 5. And
you get those calls at 2 a.m. from the nursing home or assisted living or whatever. There's a problem and they're going to the hospital and you're going to need to be there to see to their medical needs because they don't have the authority to do it themselves.
Exactly. And then, you know, you look at the back and why people are leaving. Well, there's really, the state of Michigan has never put a funding mechanism in place to hit this level of care. So the Guardianship Association has been working on that with the state legislator, and hopefully, we know last year they got an increase for the nursing home people to $83 a month. No matter how many hours you put in, it's $83 a month. That was an increase from $60, and there had been no increases since 1995. And this applies to mostly those folks who have Medicaid in our nursing homes, where they can adjust their patient pay amounts. If we have those individuals that are, you know, developmentally disabled or mentally ill in adult foster care homes, well, the guardian ends up paying to monitor them because you have there's no funds to pay.
Yeah, one thing I want to touch on is that we do have clients that were unfortunately taken advantage by their loved ones financially, and then we get them to straighten it out because there's nobody that can, with any type of certainty, take care of the people's finances and take care of their needs.
And it isn't always just incompetence, it's intentional, and you have to be there to pick up the pieces, and then you have to deal with what's left.
Exactly.
Because they may have saved for retirement, they may have, now all of a sudden they've got a bunch of bills coming in, and there's pot to pay it with.
That has happened, yes.
That has happened.
And then I've been working lately with a couple veterans that are mentally ill. One has a brain injury and stuff, and so we've been working with them to get them the VA benefits they have coming to them and different things that they can get through the military because of their service.
Are we generally talking about people who are seniors, or this can happen at any stage of life, can't it? I mean, you can, depending on an accident or
exactly.
a military injury or whatever, you know, you could be in guardianship at a young age.
Yes, we have a...
I know you can't talk specifics
about
things because
there's privacy. Yeah, our caseload spans from like the age 14 to 96. Now, kids, people below the age of 18, we can deal with only as like a minor, to monitor a conservatorship in our estate. For minors, a guardian has to be a person that which whom the child will live with. So.
I see. Well, I would think so. I mean, you know, you have to be there at all those critical moments when they need it, and they probably didn't have the best upbringing, or the family's all gone, if you're taking over for this.
Mm-hmm. All right. But we got to save them from, unfortunately, their parents, because their parents were deemed incompetent one way or another.
Well, and we've all heard the horror stories out of Hollywood where the child actors end up with nothing when they're an adult because. We had to live in Malibu when you were a kid as a star. Instead of saving it for you.
Right. Was sometimes common sense comes to play. Like, I just mentioned one case, no names, but, you know, dad was growing medical marijuana, and then the kid thought it was okay, and it's not okay. So now we have guardianship, and we got him his own place, and things are going well for him.
Okay. When you get involved, is the first thing kind of like an initial survey, rundown of what needs to be taken care of? Is that pretty much how it starts? You have like a interview or a contact to say, okay, this is where we're at, and this is what we need, and where all your money is coming from, and that type of thing.
Yeah, that's the intent. Our goal is to get an assessment done, figure out where things are.
You're usually not taking over from someone who's got everything in order.
That is correct. And many times if we have people who have an advanced phase of a dementia, it's really hard to get accurate information out of where things are or where they're supposed to be. So
What they're remembering might be from 20 years ago.
Right. So we always have to put on our little private detective hat to figure out where money may have been coming from, where did it go to. Getting the name of a financial institution is always good. That way we can at least start there.
But again, you just can't walk into a bank and say, I want to know this stuff. You have to have the paperwork from the court. You have to have credentials, all of those things that show you should have access to the information and then eventually to the actual accounts themselves.
Correct.
There's safety factors involved in all of this because, you know, you don't need somebody just going out and printing themselves up some cards and being worse than the families.
You have to have your
was talking
papers
about
from the court and any other government papers you may have.
Right.
Okay.
That's a must. And we have a lady that takes care of all that type of business, and she really works well with the banks.
Does it take a special kind of person to do this? I mean, you're going to be involved with people perhaps with dementia who tend sometimes to be angry at a flash. They can be calm, and then something's triggered or something, and it brings back an anger, and you're at the brunt of it. Do you have to be aware of that going in? Do you have to have training for this so you know when to, you know, as the trucks do, beep, 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 and back off a little bit?
Well, yes, patience. a lot of things ran through my head as you were asking that question.
Patience as in a hospital patient.
No,
I'm talking patience. The stuff inside of you that says, oh, I can take all of this.
Yeah, no, it's picking your battles carefully. We have an awesome staff between myself, who you and I talked earlier. I've worked in the mental health and in this general population area all my career. Our staff, Lynn, has worked in nursing homes, hospitals, mental health, and home health agencies for almost as long. Laura's worked mental health services, DHS services. So we all have quite a bit of seasoning, I guess I would say. But
and you all have degrees in social work.
We all have degrees. And fortunately, we have resources that, you know, the money isn't the biggest issue. We were talking the other day. It's like, you know, this is the hardest job we've ever worked for as little pay and compensation. And then they followed up that later that afternoon. We went to Ned Canfield's office hours in Caro. And we were talking a little bit about this. And he looked at us and said, exactly, why do you do what you do? And we haven't figured that out yet.
Because there's a need in the community, and we're caring people, and we want to help people.
If we weren't doing it, who would?
Right.
Now, you're in Tuscola County. You got a little bit of access to some of the services in Saginaw nearby
the
city.
Yes, we do.
As opposed to Huron County. But being in basically a rural, small community, does that pose difficulties, say if you need to place someone or if you need to find a bed somewhere in a nursing home, because you don't want to have to drive 60 miles to see them.
Correct.
And basically they might like to be closer to home with friends and family you can visit. And we do have, I know in Huron County, some very nice places to stay. You know, people from Detroit want to come up here to if they need care, because, you know, they don't want to be in an inner city assisted living or whatever home. They would like to be out in the country and see green grass out their window. Does it make it difficult in getting the resources you need to actually do all the things you want to do?
Yeah, housing, the diversity of housing is difficult for our folks. We are not necessarily case managers. I try to work with the mental health and the hospitals and all that to kind of coordinate what we do as far as placements. But Tuscola County has very limited housing for some of our mentally ill individuals.
Right.
Even the assisted livings have wait lists, so that makes it difficult. And for those living in their homes, because we try to keep people in their homes and give them the dignity and the independence and the respect that they've earned through their lifetime.
Not to mention, living at home, people live longer.
Correct.
They don't see it as, this is where I went to die. This is home.
Hey,
this is where I live.
Right.
I live here.
Well, you mentioned Saginaw close by with some medical help, but there's one problem. 90% of the time, we have to pay a driver to take them to their doctor's
Transportation's
appointment.
Transportation's an issue.
Yeah.
You only have the in Caro, the limited space where they actually have public transit.
Exactly.
And they don't go to Saginaw.
No.
No. And us, excuse me, us being a nonprofit, that becomes a challenge sometimes.
Well, not to mention, you're going to have to pay for liability coverage and such, because if you got a person in your vehicle, they got to be covered. And if it's business,
exactly,
even more so.
Right.
I mean, it's in no way is any of this cheap.
No, it's not.
So sometimes, you know, they have to be ambulatory down to Saginaw for care they need because of reasons you just said.
And it doesn't make your job any easier, because you want them to get the help they need, and the difficulty in sometimes just the simple practicality of getting them there.
Well, that's where volunteers really come into play. But yes, we do have to pay them for their gas and time, but we have a lot of great volunteers in the organization that do help us out. And we encourage anybody, if they like to get involved with this type of work, we accept interns such as myself, volunteers, anytime. They can come down. They can get a hold of us on connectionshumanservices.org. And you can, there's a link there, and you can just send us an email.
And you will go through a process, I'm sure, as if you were going into any other type of organization like this. You will have a background check. You will have your driver's record checked. Because if you're going to be doing this, you want to make sure you're not giving them to Evel Knievel's weird son.
That is correct,
yes.
Because it works with kids that way, and it works with vulnerable adults.
Exactly.
That you need to be checked so that we're not just doing all over again what may have got them into a guardianship.
Exactly. We need to keep our folks safe.
Correct.
And you need to be a special kind of person to do this as well, because you may be in this car with a person for an hour, and you may be hearing the same stories 5-6 times.
Exactly, yes. You sometimes you just nod your head and uh-huh.
Oh, I have heard that before. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
Because, you know, it just triggers, you know, oh, I remember going to Saginaw, and here's the story again and again. And it's not to belittle them. They have the problem of
their
retention.
Their memory.
Correct.
And there are certain things they remember and certain things they don't. And usually it's the old stuff, from what I remember. Is the long-term memory seems to be there. It's the short-term that gives you more difficulty.
Yeah, but I love listening to my people's old stories. I can sit there and visit with them for hours on some of this stuff. I remember I had one lady, she's passed. I don't know if it's true or not, but she loved the story of being the first lumberjack lady in Michigan. It's like, okay, I'm going to listen to the story for a while. You know, they're full.
I think she'd have to be about 300 years old, because we had fires, you know, almost 150 years ago.
But she liked the story, and it was a good one. So.
Yeah. The older folks I do visit with also are just a wealth of information. It's one lady was 102 and telling me how she used to have to give crops to the Indians and pigeons so they wouldn't mess with her family. And then she said a train trip to Bad Axe used to take all day.
But you didn't have paved roads, you didn't have cars. I mean, I know my dad telling me stories about how they used to go up to around the Alpena area, mm-hmm. and from Detroit, where my mom lived up there. That's why he had to go.
Of course.
And you'd go up there and you'd change 3 or 4 tires on the way there because either the roads were so bad and the tires were so poor.
Right.
You know, it was an adventure. It wasn't something you just got in the car and did, you know, and expected to get there and back no problem.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of old stories out there that sometimes you wish they could somehow be saved.
Oh, yeah. Our elderly folks are, I don't know, I like spending time with them and listening to some of their stories.
Now, are there assets available if you find someone whose finances don't meet their needs? I mean, there are, you know, Social Security alone really doesn't cover it.
No. We have a lot of folks that are now falling into a formula within the state system as far as like some of their benefits. If they make, if you make up to this amount of funds, you're okay and you're Medicaid eligible. If you make above that, those funds are no longer protected and you have what they're calling a spend down or a patient pay amount for someone in the community. Someone that has maybe $1,100 income can have, depending on their expenses.
Are we talking monthly? Or
monthly income.
Because I'm thinking yearly. My gosh, that wouldn't pay your cable bill.
But $1,100 a month income, and then they have an $800 patient pay amount. So their Medicaid will not kick in until they pay $800 of medical expenses. Well, rent is $5.
Like everybody has a deductible on medical.
Yeah,
but
rent is $5.
When you're that low in the income, $800 sometimes may seem like, you know.
Yeah, do we pay bills or do
Mount Everest, you're just not going to make it up there.
And we have a lot of folks that are indigent, so they do need extra supplies and help and things like that.
Is that when you start relying on food pantries and other things, other assets in the community that you can steer them them to your people? So that, you know, they have nutritious food, they have things in their cupboard and their pantries, because, you know, it's all well and good to have a house, but if you're hungry, it isn't as enjoyable as it should be.
Yeah, our folks that are eligible, Human Development does a great job with the elderly in the community and the disabled.
You coordinate with all these other agencies.
We'll work with, and refer our folks over for Meals on Wheels if they're qualified for chore services. Great staff over there that, you know, we've shown. I was talking about a few cases over the last few weeks, and it's like, you know, it just takes a village. All of us services have to be working together, or our folks' needs just aren't going to get met.
And it's also important not to duplicate services.
True.
There's only so many bucks to go around, and you want to make sure you're getting the biggest bang for your buck, so you're doing things that HDC doesn't.
Right.
But you rely on them for the things you don't do to help your clients out.
Same as it's said with mental health and human services. Yeah, trying to know where everybody is so that we can work together and not overlap or not leave a gap.
And we're always fundraising. We're going to have a yard sale in August in Carroll. So when all the funds go to folks that need it.
Before we go any further, I understand you came bearing gifts. A gift?
Yes, we have a gift.
I just wanted to let people know there's a gift basket out there. What is in the gift basket?
Oh, it's a Memorial Day surprise basket put together by one of our staff. I believe there's the lotion for when you get too much sun. Hopefully we have sun. There's some chocolates, there's some peanuts, there's some popcorn.
There's stuff with vitamin D if we have no sun over the week.
I think there's some of that too. Just a little throw together gift basket just to say thank you.
Well, we will take the third call on our WLAW contest line, which is 269-1340. 269-1340 will take the third call to win that gift basket that you were so gracious to bring along. Hopefully they will call in and be able to come pick that up. Maybe on another day we're getting our parking lot done, and it's kind of a crazy day around here. But
that was an adventure.
Yes.
Yeah, so we appreciate your generosity. Is there sometimes a problem with, the family coming back?
What do you mean?
Into the picture. I mean, the court, you know, may take the assets away and you're handling it, but the family may still be there telling the person, you know, that, oh, you shouldn't be letting them do this, and you know, and it's like,
they don't have the
authority to dictate what you're doing with their assets and funds, because if they were worthy of it, the court would have given it to them.
Correct. Yeah, we do. There's often that
we'll normally they don't try to break up the family. You know, you can't see them.
No,
unless they're in jail for what they did. But.
Right. Yeah, unless it's the person is directly harmed, our ward. Then
there may be a PPO, personal protection.
Yeah,
or
there's
some
something
type of thing
to,
in there.
But to encourage family involvement and to just work with families to kind of understand. We're not going to kick families away, or we're not going to alienate them. We're going to try and work with them because family is still family, no matter what they've done. Just to protect the people, protect our folks.
And make sure come next month they still have a place to live, they still have food, they still have medical coverage, and
right.
And that they are getting the proper medical coverage.
Yeah. Some of our folks have awesome families. I mean, we've been appointed guardians, but you know the family is still very involved. They meet with us often. They kind of help us problem solve. They'll help do some running of the errands. Like if it's okay, I'll go check out this insurance. The families and friends of some of our folks are priceless. I can't say thank you enough to them, and they know who they are, so I don't even have to mention names.
And I believe we have a winner. Rose Woodward of Bad Axe was the third caller, and congratulations, you have the gift basket. It is here at the radio station. You can pick it up. I would suggest maybe tomorrow or so, as they're redoing our parking lot, and you'll have to park on the lawn, which has a nice steep grade, and a lot of people don't like going down that, but we have to give them room to do their job. So congratulations again to Rose Woodward getting the gift basket. I can see it out of the corner of my eye. It's very nice.
Congratulations, ma'am.
Anyway, if you'd like to volunteer, I know I'm pushing that, but we sure could use them, that's for sure.
And again, there'll be a little bit of a check, background and driving if you're going to be doing that, but it's good people really have nothing to fear about that.
No, not at all.
People sit there and think, oh, they're going to come up with some crazy stuff that, you know.
We tend to run a Michigan State Police check if things are questionable. Because sometimes, you know, in those checks, they'll run you a similar name. Well, we'll check it out.
Yeah.
Honest people have nothing to worry about.
If you are applying and you give either Social Security or your driver's license number, the state police pretty much can.
Oh yeah, they have everything on there.
Can settle that down as to who is whom.
That is true.
If your name is John Smith.
That is true.
And there are 700,000 of them.
Yeah,
in the country.
Some of them have the same birth date.
Well, why don't you give them our phone number in case they want to give us a call? They might not have the internet, but.
Well, yeah, anytime you'd want to give us a call for questions, we've even worked with some families or individuals that have come in saying, I don't know if my family member needs a guardian, and the court told me to come ask you. So we would talk through, and we've helped families figure out different alternatives as far as, you know, what it means, what guardianship means. Is that what your family member needs? And sometimes they've just resorted that, you know, maybe I'll call adult services and see if they can kind of help us get this person on track and my level will be okay, and I haven't necessarily heard from them again, so I'm hoping they got what they needed with Adult Protective Services and their loved one is well on track and doing okay. But if you'd like to call us, our number is 989-672-1268.
And call during business hours.
Our business hours are Mondays through Thursdays.
You may seem to work around the clock, but the business hours would be best for the initial inquiry.
Business hours are 9 a.m. to 4:30 Mondays through Thursdays. Sometimes our phones are extremely busy, right, Ed?
Right.
And it may go to voicemail, and it may take a day or two for us to weed through all the calls there, but we will get back to you. Or, as Ed said before, if you have the internet, please feel free to drop us an email on our connectionshumanservices.org website, and I tend to respond to those pretty quick because they're always popping up on my phone.
Sometimes does the family benefit from you taking over, even if they are good people and they wouldn't do anything, just because it takes that factor out where maybe the person doesn't really want to do this, but they need it, and you aren't particularly the bad guy they have to talk to about it. The organization is, and so the family is happier together, yet stuff is getting done.
Yes, families.
I know we went a long way around on that, but it just basically puts, you know, everything they complain about makes you the bad guy rather than the other family members, and they can continue to just be family.
Yeah, back to I just want to be mom. You know, we have some families that are very capable. They're around, and they, but you know, they're like, I'm getting elderly. I just want to be mom.
Right, it takes the pressure off the family for sure.
And you know, sometimes with the guardianships, it's almost like perpetually having a teenager at home if you're kind of stuck in that mom, parent, kid relationship. So they're like, I want to be mom. I want to be sister. I want to be uncle or brother. You do you do what you do as far as a guardian. And we work well together. We consult and coordinate with families when appropriate, whenever we can, because they're family. Mm-hmm. They know the person.
Right.
Well, and then if one family member comes over and borrows something,
right,
it comes to you to say that's their property, get it back, not the family having to fight with each other trying to do this, which never seems to work out in a good way. I see the police reports.
Yes, yes.
Right. That never works out well.
But again, then you have a little more authority in their minds because you're an agency, not just, it's my sister.
Right, exactly.
Right, and we got the court paperwork to enforce it through the police if we have to.
And
right.
You've got Ed Wolf over here, the muscle to go to.
Yeah, that's true, we do.
Yeah. Get that stuff back or you know it's good for you.
Oh, boy, I'm getting a little older these days, Craig.
Well, maybe you can just go back to your military days and step in line and show that I'm like a sergeant again.
There you go.
Well, as far as one of the big things we work with families on is, and it's one of the hardest things we do, is the end-of-life decision-making. Your loved one's on a ventilator. The doctors are saying, there's no hope. The doctors want to discontinue. Okay, family, what does your loved one want? I've known them 2 years. You've known them a lifetime.
Yeah.
But this is the importance of the actual person sometime before they were incapacitated or couldn't make decisions for themselves to get this, documented in writing, notarized and such, so that you actually have a piece of paper that says, this was their wishes. I don't see how it could have changed. After they did this, they are no longer able to make these decisions themselves. So this is what sticks, and you've got something tangible to go with.
Right.
And even at that point, sometimes when you get to the hospital, if one of the family members doesn't agree, the hospital's leery about doing anything.
So we all work together all the way through the process. If someone's getting ill, what are we thinking? At what point do you as family think is appropriate? What time do we as acting on your loved one's best interest think would be appropriate, and what steps we take, and we try to maintain that communication. Just everyone working together seems to avoid some of those, I don't know what you're talking about, and I want my mother to live forever. I don't care if she's on a ventilator in 1500 tubes.
I think she'd want this.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah, but a lot of times people just have strokes, and there is no plan, nobody really knows, and then we really have to get together with everybody to be on the same page.
And the world is full of procrastinators, Ed, so we all procrastinate. I don't have a plan. Do you have a plan?
Yes, I have a living will, thank you.
Okay. Do you have a plan?
I plan to live forever.
Okay, yeah, me too.
Well, the only reason I have a living will is because I was in the military so many times.
Okay.
So.
But, we all, that's a someday thing, we'll get that plan.
When does the guardianship end? Is it at death? Because there are assets and bills yet to be paid after death that are going to come due. You're in the hospital. I remember with my dad, it was like 2 years we were still getting, statements and stuff from medical facilities, and he just died in the assisted living. It wasn't even, it wasn't even an emergency at the end there, and it was like, these just keep coming in. Do you hang on for a certain period to make sure these bills are getting paid? Because I'm sure these people want their good name to go on into the future, perpetuity, or whatever you want to call it.
Guardianship technically ends the minute the person passes away. I know there's some clause in there that, unless there's no surviving heirs, we can continue. I haven't run across that. Mm-hmm. Typically what will happen is, even if the person does have assets and no heirs, you then move into a whole other court process and you petition the court to become the personal representative of the estate just to take care of all their bills so you have authority.
A probate court kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a probate court report kind of thing. But it takes care of everything. The court helps us get things mopped up and all their assets and taken care of, all their bills taken care of.
Because again, I can tell you, that's a long process. That isn't, they'll get it to you in 30 days, the bills, and then you're all done.
The work these ladies do and the amount of time that I've witnessed in the last 8 weeks is incredible. At least 16-hour days. Easily. If not more.
Seems like it some days. Some days they just all run together. I don't know.
Well, that's when you're doing 8 hours this day, backed up exactly to the 8 hours
exactly,
starting the next
yeah.
day. And then you try and get a little sleep before they call
yeah.
again.
Yeah, I just try to go like 11 days straight and 3 days off, and 11 days straight and 3 days off.
Kind of like a military pass. Huh?
Well, we try to help as much as we can, and we do accept donations. If you have something good that you'd like to donate, like a five-drawer filing cabinet we're looking for right now, that would be great. Just give us a call.
Or if you see these people that have, you know, in the summer a corn stand on the thing, you know, if you want to donate, I'm sure you would be able to use that to go to people you have who would love mm-hmm. to have an ear of corn. And once in a while, you know, it's kind of pricey sometimes out of season.
Mm-hmm. If not, we could always assist in getting it to our agencies that do food, and they can prepare mm-hmm. it in their Meals on Wheels and whatever
they
do.
Turn around and help you in the other
exactly.
direction,
we all have to help each other.
And those folks that are in Caro, I'm currently working with the VG's Market and doing a campaign with them where if you give us your VG's receipt at the bottom, it has points. We get so many points and we'll get a grant. So I'm working to collect up those receipts. We have cans around the Caro area at Can Rock Tires and over at the Michigan Works over there. And you can stop by our office or you could just give us a call.
Now, I imagine more people are more hands-on than others.
That is true.
Because you get to someone who is living at home and they have medications, you have to make sure that they're taking them, that they're taking them right, that they're, you know, in a nursing home, assisted living, those types of facilities, you have people who will bring them to you and
right.
they know you've gotten the right things at the right time. At home, you can set up a tray or something that says morning, evening, afternoon, pills to take. You're counting on them to take it because there isn't somebody just watching them 24/7.
We count on some of their supports or caregivers that we may have to get. We may have to use home health agencies that come in and nurses check or aides or work with human services to bring in some of their caretaker staff that can keep their eyes on that. Yeah, we can't be everywhere at once. I would love to be, but I can't be.
And you have to make sure that some of the pills that can be used for other purposes, that they may be on medications that are not spirited off somewhere, and they're not getting the medications they need.
Correct.
So there's a lot that goes into this.
Yes, there is.
And if they want more information, you're basically covering Tuscola County, as Huron County has a public guardian.
Right.
And Sanilac County has a guardianship type of program available. But Tuscola was kind of lacking in that area.
For this region, yeah, and there's other counties as such. Lapeer doesn't have a public guardian's office. Saginaw, Norbay, I do not believe they have public guardian office. They're using contract or other companies that will provide that service for them. So, you know, Sanilac and Huron, they're a good exception to the rule.
But they've been grandfathered in, and they've got a good record, and people have gotten to know the work they do. It's hard to...
Right.
Cut that once you see the benefits of it.
And well, yeah, then you get line item on the county budget, and you're good. I mean, the county has identified that as something that they can do.
And everybody
awesome.
Who sets the budget sees down the road, I may need this.
Yeah. If you haven't heard from what a public guardian is or a guardian is, that's probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing.
Right.
It's called Connections Human Services.
That's correct.
It's in Caro. Number is 989-672-1268, 1268. If you have questions, if you think you may be able to use such services, they can contact you and you can go through the process to see if they're eligible, what it would take, because if the court doesn't say it, then the person involved that you would be to a guardianship to would have to agree to this. So there's a little, it's not just, I want this for my family member. You got to get your ducks in line, but the first step is calling you and getting the ball rolling.
Yep, or contacting an attorney. We're not attorneys, and you know if it's a case that looks like it may need an attorney, we'll actually refer them to. You might want to get an attorney to look into all this to put all this together for you. So
they can help you draft the powers of attorney, the powers of
exactly.
Medical capabilities and such, and all of that can be in line by the time they get to you.
That's true.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad that Tuscola County is now covered in this way because I see the work our guardian does, and A lot of people really, really benefit from having someone just third party, unobjective, taking care of things.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us, Craig.
Thanks for coming back, Ed Wolf.
Yeah.
Not sergeant any longer.
Well, I'm retired. I'm
retired.
Retired, yes.
And we wish you good luck, and if you have things coming up, let us know.
Okay, thank you so very much.
Our guests today on the program have been Sandy Hurst. She was the founder of Connections Human Services in Carroll, and also Ed Wolf. He's an intern there. He's going to college, interning at Connections. And again, 269-672-1268, the number to call if you think they can be a benefit to your family. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Just keep it right here.